were pretending to be persons who had arrived from various non-industrial states. And the point and the purpose of these exhibitions was white supremacy. The point and the purpose of these exhibitions was to say, look, you and I living in the United States, you know, with our steam power and electrical generation, are superior to these backwards people who know nothing. And to drive home the point that it was about white supremacy and not just about culture or technology, there was a day in which black people were invited and allowed to attend the Chicago 1893 World Fair, and it was a trap. They were ridiculed, mocked, chased around, insulted. This is a powerful cultural symbol which set the tone as U.S. imperialism later in 1898 began to expand wildly into those lesser countries with lesser people, and the white people wanted to show their superiority by slaughtering them. And we, the white people, are still doing it. And we, the white people, are still enforcing these ideas with our police and with our imperialism. When you get right down to it, that's what's going on. That's who we are, you and I as white people. I realize I'm broadcasting to a lot of people who are not white. But I want to be clear who I'm talking to when I say that. And it'll just keep going on that way. And we will have imperialism. And it's not down to whether Tesla got a break. It's down to, are we willing to confront our crimes as a culture? And as the white race believing itself superior, which just put Trump into power, and yes, it was about race, the analyses are in. It wasn't nearly as much about economics as it was about racial animus. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Bartha is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Thank you again for your work. You mentioned radiation numbers and that they were extremely elevated by the rail yard, and I'm not exactly sure where that's located because I wasn't paying that much attention. But the question I have for you is, have you shared this with DEQ or anybody else? And
I have, in fact, put in a complaint form to DEQ. I attempted to contact the city council, but they can't hear me until June, so I've decided to go strictly with DEQ and KBOO for now.
Great. Can you tell us what the normal standards are?
Yes. When I measure background radiation here at KBOO, I very steadily get about 31 millisieverts per hour. When I go downtown near granite buildings, I can get about I can get a few clicks more than that. Human bodies usually, especially older ones, usually have a few clicks more than that, but not much. When I opened the car door out there at Kittredge Street in front, I was showing double that.
Okay. Are there legal standards that we can compare this to? Or
you know, I don't know what the legal standards are, but I do know that 576 becquerels per hour comes out to the equivalent of several dental x-rays. Could not possibly be legal. Certainly a person standing in that spot over the course of a year would get a massive, massive dose of radiation.
Well, if you think that this is coming into the yard on the oil and that the oil is being transshipped there, then it's likely going to leave residual radiation contamination in the infrastructure.
I think so, but without a sample, I don't know what caused it. And those rail lines have been there a long time. The facility that I mentioned, Arc Logistics, previously processed asphalt. It could have come from that. It could have come from Pennsylvania shale oil, which might have been processed, I'm just guessing, as asphalt. It might have come from, for all I know, some shipment from long ago that is forgotten that came from Hanford Nuclear
right.
Reservation.
Right.
I don't know what it is. So I intend to try to get a sample at some point.
Okay. Thanks for your work.
Thank you. Yes, and it is. There's quite a bit that is indeterminate, and that reading once again was 576 millisieverts per hour. I was very careful in getting it. I did calibrate the Geiger counter before and after. I double checked the reading. It was rattling very steadily. I held it long enough to allow it to automatically average. I did all that I could, and although my equipment was quite cheap, and I don't know how many hotspots there might be or what the exact overall radiation of that area is, I can say beyond a doubt that it is dangerous, and that is why I am reporting it. It should not be allowed to be there. There should be, if things were working right, there should be people in hazmat suits there right now assessing it. It should be locked down. No one should be going out there. And Per Fogring has called, and I believe that the topic... Hello, Per.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I believe the topic is Martin Luther King and his assassination.
Yeah, I just want to say, sounds like we've got a real project started here.
Yeah.
I think that's really something to keep going on, you know? The more information we get, the better.
Well, there were people standing around there working... You know, working security and working at the various facilities, and I talked with them about it, and I said, you know, if I were you, I would wash your boots.
Oh, wow, okay. well, you know, another thing about that Bakken oil is it's not going to last forever. Those fracked wells deplete very quickly.
Hell yeah, just leave it in the ground, I say.
And yes, right, and so, but anyway... I did want to say that, you know, I'm going to be taking a break from my show. And one reason is that, you know, I'm taking kind of oxycodone, and you're not supposed to drive when you when you take that. And so...
Powerful stuff.
Well, I haven't, you know, it kind of relieves back pain and stuff. And so far, I haven't got any big side effects or anything. So... But the thing is, I'm not supposed to drive, so...
Well, good on you for being cautious.
Well, you know, my wife, she's sort of been my chauffeur and takes me to doctor's appointments and out to eat and shopping and stuff like that. But she also has a daytime job, so... But anyway, I thought, you know, I thought that this would be, you know, the Martin Luther King topic would be a good place to sort of... take a break on, because to me it's one of the important stories of the times. You know, it's 2 weeks ago we talked about this latest book by William Pepper, the Plot to Kill King. Now he's written three books on the same thing, but each book is expanded, and this one is a very long book, but half of it is appendices. So it's a lot of with source material, court records, documents, testimony, cross-examination. The book itself is about 200 pages of, you know, exposition. And, you know, it outlined how the assassination was done. Basically, the shooter, there was a shooter who was a Memphis cop. This is all according to William Pepper's book. And the shooter was a Memphis cop who was there with another Memphis cop, who was like a spotter. And then the third person, this is behind the rooming house or the yard, at that time was covered with brush, and it was sort of facing across the street to the motel where Dr. King was staying. And so you had the shooter, the spotter, and then this man, Lloyd Jowers, who owned this cafe, who took the rifle after they fired their shot. He took the rifle inside his cafe and hid it away, and it was picked up later on. But, you know, this was, and witnesses had seen these shooters be in the bushes. Strangely enough, the very next morning, the bushes were all cut down by the city Public Works Department. And so... basically, this was the deep state at work. The CIA was involved, the FBI was involved, the Memphis police were involved, and so were the New Orleans mafia. You know, this is sort of how they work. And so that was the essence of the book, how the assassination was done. According to Pepper, the FBI paid the warden of the Missouri State Prison $25,000 to arrange for James Earl Ray's escape. And so there's lots of information in there, and there's lots of backup documentation. But I wanted to talk about the meaning of this. You know, that was the deep state then, and we still have the deep state with us. You know, we hear a lot about it now, and... they're still kind of doing the same thing they were doing then. The the assassination of Dr. King, one reason for it was that to keep the Vietnam War going, which, you know, Dr. King was speaking out against. And I think this relates to the killings of President John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy. They were also related, possibly done by the same people or certainly the same institutions. The same deep state was at work. And so, you know, we look at the consequences of this killing. You know, the Vietnam War kept on going for another, about another 7 years. You know, more people dying, getting killed. And we lost that war. Then it wasn't long after that we were involved with Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Sudan, and now Syria. You know, it's been constant war, and
And he had just spoken out against the war.
Pardon me?
And he had just spoken out against the war, so you see that direct connection again between U.S. racism and imperialism.
Well, sure, yes. Well, that was one of the one of the reasons why there was so much dissension in the military, that you know, African Americans who got drafted, you know, we did have a draft in those days, you know, they were being discriminated against here at home, and then they get sent off to fight a war supposedly for democracy. And so it was just a real disaster, but it keeps on going. And this is the thing that really, you have to wonder about. Why, after all these disasters, why do these neocons, why do these warmongers still have any authority at all? They still seem to run the debate in Washington. It's just, and so, you know, who, you wonder who is next. Even the even our victories, supposed victories, have turned into disasters. Right now there's been talk about, you know, Sudan, South Sudan is in the news. There's starvation going on. There's sort of a civil war between two factions, between two tribal factions. Well, if people will remember, not long ago, it was the U.S. that was sponsoring this South Sudan secession movement. And there might have been good reasons for that, but it was sort of our baby. We remember hearing all about Darfur and these Arab militias and all things like that. Well, they got their secession, and now that is falling apart. South Sudan is in the midst of a famine, and look at the now Syria. Same thing is happening there, and this is destabilizing Europe. And so you have to wonder who is next. Well, these neocons don't make any. They're pretty frank about it. They want to go after Iran, and they want to go after Russia. And this is just crazy, but they have the ear of people in Washington. The Washington Post, the New York Times bends over backwards to give them a voice. So there we are. You just have to, you know, really have to wonder how, why do we have these constant wars? Tell me.
Well, I guess, you know, I was touching on some of the cultural reasons, and, you know, a lot of it has to do with that racial animus. I mean, that's used for the population. It's the billionaires that really get the direct payoff, of course, mm-hmm. In my opinion. But, well, there's a lot to be said about that, and I believe that stations like KBOO Community Radio are one of our best places to counter that, to actually come out, not just to say the truth and the facts, but to have the attitude of wanting to confront it, wanting to confront what this culture does, what I do as a white person, what constitutes my personality as a white person, and what I want to change, and what I want to make amends for, and what can be done, you know, starting with each person, and then moving forward towards the culture. And there's so many things that continue to have power because they're never spoken of. You know, like, it makes me think of the Osage murders, which have been in the news lately. I believe that NPR did a study on those. And the Osage murders was a case, it was just strictly white predation on the Osage Nation because they got some money from their oil holdings. back in the early part of the 20th century. And it's one of those things in which, like you were describing with the assassination of MLK and perhaps of Kennedy, you've got such a group of good old boys and they all convince each other using that sort of mob mentality that they're doing the right thing. Or maybe if they think they're doing the wrong thing, maybe they think the karma, if you will, is spread out sufficiently. It's one of those weird group things that will continue and will reinforce itself and become more powerful unless and until it is exposed and confronted. And so we have KBOO, and I think we need to support
KBOO. Speaking of racial animosity, in William Pepper's book, this is something I hadn't heard before, but, Dr. King was still alive when they took him to the hospital. And so, they tried all the life-saving procedures. And then there's this doctor, and the doctor is named in charge, and he ordered that stopped. He wanted Dr. King dead, and apparently, according to witnesses, they stopped trying to. I don't think they would have been able to pull him through anyway, but he died on the in the hospital there. And apparently this doctor and others spit on his body. Now, this is in the book.
Oh, how grotesque.
And, the animosity, one of the ringleaders of this thing in Memphis was a mafia-connected produce dealer. And it's just the racial antagonisms, it's very strange. It really is, but there it is. And I was speaking of KBOO. I was very glad that I was on Flashpoints, where they had the Project Censored show.
Yes.
Was that on one of the other shows? But anyway, they had Project Censored interviewed William Pepper, and I'm really glad that they did that, because this is a book that really should not be just kind of read and put aside, because it's it speaks to a lot of what is going on right now. One thing that sort of jumped out at me is that we have this kind of Washington, and this sort of goes, you have the conservative neocons, and then you have the supposed liberal neoliberals, and they all want war, and they sort of they joined up. It sort of goes across the political spectrum. And, Putin gets accused, President Putin of Russia gets accused of orchestrating assassinations of his opponents and journalists and whatever. And maybe it's true. We don't know. I mean, the more we find out, the better off we are. But when you look at the evidence that they present for accusing Putin of this kind of stuff, it is nowhere near the evidence you have in the King assassination and the John Kennedy assassination. But those two things are ignored and covered up, and, kind of a phony Warren Commission report and phony reports about the King assassination. Even there, they had to admit that there was a conspiracy. One thing that William Pepper did, he was an attorney, and he... the King family, they came to believe that James Earl Ray was innocent, and this Lloyd Jowers, the person who owned that cafe, he made a confession. He revealed the plot, and he would have been willing to testify in a trial if he'd gotten the immunity, but the Memphis DA would not allow that. And so the King family sued Jowers in a civil suit. Because they wanted to get it on the record. Now, in a civil suit, the evidence is a little different than in a criminal case. Criminal case is guilty beyond all reasonable doubt. In a civil case, it's culpable, sort of, preponderance of evidence. But anyway, the King family sued this Lloyd Jowers, and they had a real trial before a real jury in Memphis. And the jury's verdict was that Dr. King was killed as a result of a conspiracy by Lloyd Jowers and others. And so there it is, on record. I have a clipping from the Oregonian at that time. This, the verdict came down in the, I think in the year 2000. And so that's when the verdict came down, and it was in the papers, and you would think there'd be some kind of outrage or some kind of demand for a fuller explanation.
It's the sort of thing that you would expect would make a cultural change and that would be well remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And yet?
Well, it was sort of, you know, the evidence came out and people sort of, it registered, but that's where it ended, you know. I don't see any big movement to, you know, to reopen this case and have some kind of real truth commission or something like that. But I don't know. So here we are. We Americans are not outraged. And the outrage they feel is being manipulated by people like Donald Trump. So I don't know. This is where we are. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think it fits in nicely with what I was saying before, although maybe nicely isn't the adjective. Maybe I want to say it fits in. The adverb would be horrifically. It's part of the function of a community radio station to drill down a little bit and look under the surface and see what's really moving the earth. And it's these truths that need to be out there. And I'm glad that you've called in with that.
Well, I don't know. It's just, this whole thing has really gotten to be, I don't know, maybe call it an obsession or something. It really galls me that here this heroic person, you know, he had all kinds of human faults, you know. I mean, the FBI was listening in on all his phone calls, and I think J. Edgar Hoover sent him a letter advising him to commit suicide or else he'd be blackmailed or something. And but he was able to, you know, and when he gave that speech a year before his assassination, you know, a lot of the people in the civil rights movement, they turned against him. You know, they thought he shouldn't get into that kind of stuff. He should stick to just civil rights cases. And the Washington establishment was really kind of scared of this poor people's campaign, where you're going to have poor people, white and black, camping out on a Washington mall. And that really had the establishment terrified. So it's...
Well, the power of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's heart and mind and purpose and sincerity are evident if just reading his speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even to mention the power of his voice. And so starting to speak up for poor people and against Vietnam, I would guess, would be what made certain people make a decision to eliminate him.
Well, that is true. And this book goes into all the details, and I really recommend it. I may have gotten the last copy that Powell's Books had, but you can always order it through your favorite bookstore. It's put out by, I think, Skyhorse Publishing Company, and it is really worth reading. So, and then it's not only worth reading, but just think how it applies to what's going on today, because, you know, it's kind of like a little truism. We say, you know, no matter who wins the election, the war party always wins. Because the war party is kind of deep into the Republicans and the Democrats.
We don't just consider war legitimate in the United States. We practically worship it. We worship soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We worship war. And I don't have anything against soldiers. I've always been impressed by the bravery at times of soldiers. But I would be blind if I didn't notice that our soldiers are used for imperialism, and imperialism is making people bleed, scream, and die across the planet for mm-hmm. the sake of the very rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Boy, think of, you know, right now we have a volunteer army, and I can't imagine anybody, even if you think of the army as a suitable career, I can't imagine anybody in their right mind joining the army when Donald Trump is in the White House.
Well, you know, over the years, it's just been sporadic and I guess if you look over the long term, it's not even sporadic. It's continuous efforts to criminalize dissent against U.S. Imperial policy. The latest thing is to say that, I spoke without remembering the phrase. What's the latest phrase to be used against the left? It's the depleted left or something like that. I mean, it's not true. The left is stronger than ever. Certainly Bernie Sanders' insurgency against the Democratic Party showed that. But to speak out against it is always demonized, criminalized. Chelsea Manning getting a 35-year sentence is certainly an example of that. A hero who spoke out against the most heinous murders but simply by exposing them, instead of being celebrated, instead of being given a medal, was socked away for a 35-year sentence. And now that has been commuted by Obama, thank God, she will now be getting out next month.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what the date is on that?
I think I do, and I mentioned it before. Let me see if I can find it here. She will be getting out on May 17th, 2017.
Mm. May 17th. That's Norwegian Independence Day.
All right, then. There's one way to remember it. It'll be her Independence Day as well.
Oh, boy, yes. What's very interesting about Obama, you know, this brings to mind is that I heard this from Ray McGovern, you know, the retired CIA person.
Yes.
And he said that this is, he did not witness this himself, but he heard it from somebody who did. So it's kind of hearsay, but you might say it's a pretty strong hearsay that President Obama was at some dinner party with friends of his, and they were going after him for not being, you know, for going along with the empire and not keeping us out of war and stuff like that. And Obama got a little annoyed and said that he did not want what happened to Dr. King happen to him.
Interesting.
So the person who was there told this to Ray McGovern, and Ray McGovern considers that person a credible source, truthful source.
And I consider Ray McGovern to be a credible source
on such
issues.
And so there you have it. So he's another, is this another way that the King assassination is affecting our politics, it's almost 50 years after it happened. So.
As it was intended, it's an act of intimidation.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, that's about all I have to say about that. I just hope that people keep thinking about this. And I don't know, I think I'm going to take a break and do a little more writing and doing more research and maybe calling into your show now and then.
All right, Per. Well, then I'm glad to hear your voice, and I hope you take care of your back and it gets better soon.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, we're getting treatment for it, and so hopefully all will go well. So. Anyway, thanks a lot for the platform, and I love your show, and I want you to keep on doing it.
Thanks, Per. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, now we're getting towards the top of the hour, and we've got a question which is brought in by the most excellent engineer, Rock. And it says, listener question, any news on Fukushima? Well, the latest on Fukushima is that the radiation has indeed arrived on U.S. shores as determined by the buckets of seawater that are brought in by volunteers who had to pay for the opportunity, to Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. The U.S. government is not measuring it, but it has arrived. It is in very small amounts, but there is no good small amount of active radiation to take in terms of active particles into your body. At Fukushima itself, the ice wall has utterly failed, as anyone could have predicted. What does water do when it's presented with a wall? It went over it, and so they're trying to double down with more ice walls, but if you really look at what the engineers are saying, they don't believe that it's going to work. The four melted down reactors are slag, three melted down and one fuel pool. It's in bad condition. The site is heavily contaminated. It has never stopped contaminating the ocean and the bay there with extreme amounts of radiation. And the government and Japan is trying to cover it up, particularly since the Tokyo Olympics are coming up in just a couple and change years now. You've been listening to Press Watch. on 90.7 FM in Cascadia and other frequencies in nearby towns, and via the World Wide Web on KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa, and thank you for listening to KBOO Portland. Happy 420. It is a Thursday, a bit on the wet side. At 10:15, join us for Flashpoints today with your host, Dennis Bernstein. Today, a rebroadcast of a recent speech by Electronic Intifada founder Ali Abu Nima. It's called "The Turning Point for the Palestine Solidarity Movement. Can Israeli Apartheid Really Be Defeated?" Then join us at 11 for Between the Covers. A conversation today with author Sally Tisdale on her new collection of essays, Violation, From the Biology of Flies to the Experience of Working in an Abortion Clinic, Why It's So Difficult to Play Sports with Men, and Whether It's Possible for Writers to Tell the Truth. That's all coming up on Between the Covers at 11. Up next, it is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Stick around.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Real Cool Jazz film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Molly Blues, will play Thursday, April 20th at 7 p.m. The West African country of Mali is a birthplace of the blues. Today, the music and musicians of Mali are in grave danger as fundamentalist Islam and Sharia law become more widespread, dance and secular music are prohibited, musical instruments are destroyed, and musicians are forced to flee their homeland. The documentary, Molly Blues, follows four artists who are using their music to stand up to extremism and inspire tolerance and peace. Again, that's Molly Blues, Thursday, April 20th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.